What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 4th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Apparently, Kevin did not appreciate my Bloodhound Gang reference before that. I appreciate your input.
Don't ever throw me off.
I'm not going to throw you. It didn't throw you off. You know, it's a new year, new show.
I said audio goes up. Nobody talks
about it. It's just a little, it's an audio bonus for people if they hear that audio. You know, now they know what was going on. Andrew, how you been? How's the new year?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Only 4 days in, but
can't go bad yet, right?
Exactly.
Even though everybody's trying.
It's a doozy. I feel like you just got to take one day at a time.
Exactly. Did you have a good break?
I did.
Did you
it
play
was
a
nice.
Lot of games?
I didn't play as many games as I was hoping to or thought I was going to.
And this is what I'm talking about. These stupid families we have.
I know, families.
Can they just go away? Leave us alone.
I think one year I just want to take like a staycation where I just stay home.
Yeah.
And like see family maybe like one day,
exactly.
2 days, and then I'm like, just leave me alone.
Exactly. I have things to do and things to play.
I like this like Mizzou color scheme you have going on.
Thank you. Yeah, I have the Mizzou tie on today. It doesn't get broken out as much. I took the red tie home. And then so now I'm just down to the black tie or the black and gold tie. But the black and gold tie doesn't go with much. So here it is right now. Mizzou tie being rocked. Beard coming in. It's coming along.
Strong.
I still look like homeless Greg.
Evil
Superman Greg.
You don't have any, like, it looks like it's pretty filled in now.
Yeah. It's weird. Sometimes I do that where I touch it with my tongue.
And
like,
you feel it. Yeah.
I got to start trimming on the lips, I guess. Kevin, is that what you do? You trim around the lips for beards?
Yep. I have a little Leatherman I pull out with little scissors.
You got a Leatherman with the little scissors. All
yeah,
right.
If
you
didn't know,
ladies
products.
And gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, we need you to be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Put in your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else that makes the show go. Then watch live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have an additional job, you need to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we set the record straight for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Again, this is our first week back in the new year, which means Kinda Funny Day, our third anniversary, just passed. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, hear about all the new cool stuff we have there, like the PlayStation VR show. The Extra Life documentary is also up on Patreon for just a buck. And then tomorrow, Friday, we'll be putting up Kinda Funny Gamescast Game of the Year with Andrew Renee, Tim Geddes, Andy Cortez, a member of the community. You can get it on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for just a buck. Or, no, that's not right. Five or ten. But you can also wait and get it for free later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, which is less than 600 people away from 230,000. I will remind you of this daily until we hit that milestone and then have to move on to something else. If you are an audio listener, I beg you, stop your car right now in the middle of the freeway. Open up YouTube on your phone and subscribe to Kinda Funny Games. It would mean a lot to us. And then it's my duty to tell you that this episode of the Kinda Funny Games cast is brought to you by the new Kinda Funny hoodie, but I'll tell you about our sponsor later in the show. You like what I'm doing?
I do.
I want to make sure they're not, when I bring in a real sponsor next week, they're not rusty, that they get all, you know what I mean? For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much. First one, Switch is the fastest selling home video game console system in U.S. history. Nintendo put out a press release today. In 10 months, it sold more than 4.8 million units in the U.S. That's the highest total for the first 10 months of any video game system in U.S. history, surpassing Nintendo's own Wii system, which was the previous record holder, with more than 4 million units sold during the same time frame. More than 60% of Nintendo Switch owners have Super Mario Odyssey, and over 55% own The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. What's the ceiling on this? When is this going to stop?
I think the ceiling is probably near the end of this year. Now, we spoke about this late last year when I said that I don't think that they're going to be able to maintain this momentum.
Sure.
Because they put their two biggest franchises out at launch year, which was very smart because it gave them a really great push out the gate, which they haven't had in their last system. But I don't think that they're going to be able to maintain this momentum. I mean, most consoles don't, right? Slow and steady wins the race for most console cycles. But I think that there's not really any other franchises, maybe with the exception of the Pokemon standalone that's coming to Switch, that would be able to push hardware as you know, dominantly as Zelda and Mario.
Well, it's fascinating too, of course, that, you know, here they have it as 55% owned Zelda, where you'd think even more would have that. But it shows, I guess, how many more units they've sold since the launch of Zelda. Because for a while, obviously, that was just dominating. And I know the press release went in later to say how many percent own ARMS or Splatoon or something to that effect. Of course, I haven't brought it into any of the shows. The one Kind of Funny Games Daily we've done yet. There is a rumor, of course, January 11th, that there's going to be, I guess we did kind of talk about this yesterday.
You did talk about it yesterday.
Did we say the date, though? That January 11th is the rumored Nintendo Direct. It seems to be pretty all but announced in terms of, a lot of people are talking about these rumors, and I forget the name, but Tim was telling me one of the Nintendo leakers, the one of the people who does it the most, is saying that it's true, it's January 11th, and it's looking to be another E3. But I refuse to get that excited until
looking
I'm there.
To be another E3.
Like an E3 level announcements of what they're doing. So it won't just be, hey, here's this game, that game, see you later. It'll be like, hey, it's time for 2018, and Reggie comes down in this giant dragon, and he's spitting fire.
I'm into it.
Miyamoto comes up, tries to fight him. Then hologram Miyamoto comes out. It's just fucked up. It's just I'm not saying that's gonna happen. Just saying it's what I've heard when I just made up the rumor right here on the spot.
I just made up the rumor.
Hologram Miyamoto. Everyone tweet at Nintendo America. Ask about hologram Miyamoto.
Well, Nintendo generally announces when the directs are going to be released, so we should anticipate a press release from them.
Sooner rather than later, right? Yeah, Tim was saying, like, he's the Nintendo fanboy, obviously. He knows more about this than I do. He was saying sometimes it's as little as 3 days they get a
heads
up.
Yeah, it's very short notice.
So I would imagine then Monday, maybe Tuesday, we hear something. If it's going to, because the 11th
is
Thursday. January
11th is the correct date. Yeah. That's a week from today.
Yeah. All right. Everybody wait with bated breath. We'll find out what the Switch has got up its sleeve for this one. Number two on the Roper Report, Nexon has written off Lawbreakers as a loss. This is via MMOs.com. I saw on Reset Era when people were talking about that this actually came out in November. I think it might have just slipped through the cracks, but still an interesting story. In Nexon's Q3 2017 earnings report, the company wrote off the entire value of Lawbreakers, which means they now value the game at $0 on their balance sheet. While Nexon didn't break down how much money they lost on the title, the Lawbreakers write-off made up a, quote, majority of the total other expenses in the quarter, which was about $32.6 million. The CFO is quoted in the financial briefing or whatever, the Q&A part, saying, "Our results in North America in the third quarter were below our outlook, mainly due to the sales of Lawbreakers being below our expectations. Lawbreakers is a unique FPS developed for core users. We had very high expectations for its launch. However, the timing of its launch turned out to be unfortunate. Specifically, the blockbuster PC online game PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds came out right around the same time, making the market environment very tough for first-person shooters in general and for Lawbreakers." End quote. That's sad. I know Lawbreakers didn't catch on, but Cliff was always excited about it. And when you looked at it, and I'm not somebody who plays this kind of games, I looked at it and did like videos with it. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
I think, you know, PUBG maybe was a factor, but them pegging it on it entirely seems unfair to me.
Yeah.
Lawbreakers suffered from a variety of other issues. Most notably, the concept was a very unique one, which they needed to do in the PC shooter arena shooter space. Sure. You need to have some kind of a twist on that. But what they didn't do is really fully explain the concept to players. I remember booting that game up and not getting any kind of tutorial on
that
console.
That was the big problem, right? When it launched, it was like it didn't have that. It didn't have certain modes. So like even if you were interested in it and you jumped in, you're lost, you're expecting there to be this, there wasn't. And like, I know Cliff has been super vocal. He had a whole bunch of GameSpot interviews where he was talking about what they're going to do and what they're adding and like trying to get the game to where they wanted it, but still your first impression's everything.
Right. I mean, and at that point you go, maybe did they make the wrong decision by releasing when they did? Should they have stayed maybe in open beta and really kind of worked with the community to see what was working, what wasn't working? And that's why, you know, you're seeing games like PUBG stay in you know, this kind of closed early access state for an extended period of time to really kind of get their feet under them and figure out like where does the community want this game to go.
Sure.
And I think that that's probably what Lawbreakers also suffered from. They did a lot of closed alphas, but their betas weren't very long. And from my recollection, there wasn't like a gigantic player base involved in that feedback round either. So a couple of missteps. I think it's easy for them to point the finger at somebody else. I don't necessarily think that that's, you know,
it's
the
not
cause
the smoking
of this issue
gun,
here.
Right? Yeah, sure. PUBG was a runaway hit there, but there was a bunch of other games that came out that, and granted, they're not even They're similar. They're shooters.
No, I would not call those games the same.
I mean,
at
I'm
all.
Trying to give you. I'm trying.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
Multiplayer. You're shooting things in. I understand. Yeah. There's only we talk about how much bandwidth there is for a multiplayer game for these games as services.
There's a lot, actually. There's a lot of bandwidth,
right? Yeah, because people have a million different things and jump around. And
yeah.
As I've become kind of funny's games as a service expert. That's what I find, right?
Oh, okay.
Play some GTA, play some Friday. We've done it where we played the Destiny, jump back into the Friday. I'm all over there, guys. I'm out there. PUBG 2. We got to. When are we playing again, Kev? We got to make our lives not so complicated. Can we just cancel everything else today and play more stuff?
No,
you guys
no,
just announced a bunch of new shows. You ain't got time for games anymore.
Yeah, we are
also,
not
I ask
smart.
You every day at the end.
Well, yeah, but every day you go do
you're
things.
Always
you know
like,
what I mean? Tonight, we're playing some GTA, all right?
No, because it's Thursday.
Oh, you see, now it's on you.
I'll play. Okay, fuck it, I don't care.
Number three on the Roper Report, the creative director on Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, Sean, and I always screw up his last name. Do you know how to say it correctly? We'll say Cage. Is leaving Naughty Dog. He tweeted this out. I'm just going to call him Sean from here on out. But he's the creative director on Uncharted Lost Legacy. Now, he worked on a bunch of other games, obviously, at Naughty Dog, too. 7 years ago, I joined the talented team at Naughty Dog. This is his tweet. Talented team at Naughty Dog on a project still in its infancy. The Last of Us. Well, the rest is history. Left behind, Uncharted 4 were fleeting, and Uncharted The Lost Legacy pushed my creative growth even further. I will miss all my dogs. Now, of course, that's usually where the story would end. You'd say, oh, well, I can't wait to see what he does next. Congratulations. Worked on some great games, and I've met him, talked to him, great guy. However, IGN's article was quick to point out that Sean is potentially moving to join the team at Crystal Dynamics to work on the upcoming Avengers game, as he recently posted the Avengers logo on his Instagram, writing, quote unquote, to new adventures in the caption. However, Sean hasn't confirmed that this is the case. Look at that.
Well, they have been looking for somebody.
Sure. Well, yeah, they're building out that team over there, right?
Yeah, Crystal Dynamics. Yeah. So that would make sense. That project probably has at least another year to 2 years of development, I would guess.
Yeah, the fact that all we have is that teaser trailer makes it seem like it's still a ways out. But maybe they're waiting for a big reveal at an E3 or something like that. But I still feel, that's not a 2018 game. That's
No, definitely not.
Yeah, of course.
That'll be interesting. I don't really have like some deep and meaningful thoughts about his work.
It's interesting. And then what I want to do is connect that to a question that was written in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where Zy Peters wrote in and said, what do you generally make of Insomniac's recent hiring of Brian Horton as design director for Spider-Man? Is this any indication as to when to expect the game's release, or is this more of a long-term thinking hiring, bringing greater benefits to the next installment? If you're unfamiliar, Brian Horton worked at Crystal Dynamics on them that are Tomb Raider games. Now he's going over to Insomniac to work on Spider-Man, design director for Spider-Man. Interesting. Very interesting. Because Spider-Man, a 2018 game. Supposed to be, you'd assume, getting pretty close to getting out the door.
I would have to imagine as design director coming in at this phase, like there's not really many more decisions to be made for the core game, but potentially he will be on board to help influence and shape DLC or post-launch content. Insomniac doesn't traditionally do games as services, but they, of course, have done many DLC packs in the past.
Yeah.
So, and for a series like Spider-Man,
which you know is going to be a series, right? Like Sony's not like, and Sony and Insomniac are like, let's make one game and be done with it. I'm sure this is setting up a universe for Spider-Man. That's awesome, and I want to play it.
Do you think there's a world?
Lay it on me.
We're talking about Avengers. Yeah. We're talking about Spider-Man. No. Could they have a crossover?
No.
I mean, look at Assassin's Creed and Final Fantasy.
That's not canon, though, is it?
Oh, it's not canon, but it's two different publishers doing a crossover in each other's universes, right?
Okay, crossover to that extent, sure.
And at least this would make sense from a canon standpoint, whereas that is just for funsies, right?
Yeah, but it gets confusing then of people making... It's not like movies, I feel like, where Marvel can sit there and be like, all right, this is how this all goes, and it's very sequential and it makes sense. This game gets delayed, so that storyline doesn't make any sense, or this moves around, or that on a whim, one of the Insomniacs has to move a building, which then totally fucks them... It'd be awesome if we lived in a world like that, but it would be impossible, which sucks. But it'd be cool, but it's not needed. But I just hope the game's... I always like it when a Spider-Man game references that the Fantastic Four is there or something, right? That there are... You get that there's a bigger world. Maybe there's a few characters doing it, but no. Don't even get me started. Not going to happen.
Okay.
Your next story on the Roper Report, number four, I believe. Mad Catz is back. I added a Z there for you. This is via Polygon. Hardware maker Mad Catz, which filed for bankruptcy and shut down in March 2017, is back. The company, now known as Mad Catz Global Limited and headquartered in Kowloon, Hong Kong, announced a new line of products today.
They have a gaming mouse, a gaming keyboard, and a gaming headset. And these are their traditional brands, the Rat, the Strike, the Freak, which are the ones that they've used in the past. So this is interesting. I'm not sure why this came about. I would really like to get the inside scoop on why this brand has been resurrected. There's just so much competition in the hardware space. Mm-hmm. They really must have had some incredible patents, potentially, or some contracts, or
it's how much does
licenses or something locked up in order to make this financially a viable business opportunity.
Sure, like, yeah, where they're going for it. I think you bring up how competitive the space is, and I think that even if Mad Catz is a name that's, oh yeah, aren't they out of business? It's a name people recognize, and mm-hmm. so it's easier than starting up and calling yourself E old controller dongle and trying to get out there and get that, you know.
Well, there are former Mad Catz
people working on
staff
this.
that went to go on to start Lucid Sound, which is a relatively new brand. I mean, they've been out for like a little over a year now, almost going on 2 years, but still a lot of people don't know what that brand is.
Exactly.
I mean, you can guess that they make audio equipment, which they do. They make headphones. Yeah. But I mean, you have a very good point in saying, you know, maybe they want to just take that brand loyalty that's been built up over a very long time and just kind of reignite it. But
I think that's my question. Who is loyal to Mad Catz?
A lot of people in FGC are.
Yeah. See, that's a part, that's a community I don't know, right? So I understand that. Yeah.
I mean, because they, I mean, from my experience, I got started knowing and working with Mad Catz because of Fight Sticks and talking to people in that community, because Mad Catz has always been such a big part of the competitive scene.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, they made a very big deal with Harmonix for the release of Rock Band 4, which is, I think, what tanked them, because they made all of this hardware.
Hey, Rock Band's going to be back and bigger than it. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to really get the backstory on
that. Never being a competitive fighting game in that community at all. Mad Catz for me was always like, oh, let's play. Let's have somebody over. I'm going over to somebody's house, and they bust out the extra controller, and it's this weird Mad Catz knockoff. And like, oh, god damn it! And it's like, don't you just have another real controller? No, we got this. And I remember, I think they were the cheapest memory card or something, some shit like that. So like my PS1 or PS2 had a knockoff Mad Catz. Maybe it was even for my N64 or whatever. It's like, what is this? You know, come on, just buy the real thing.
Yeah.
But they were Mad Catz. They were there doing it all the time, trying to make that money.
Exactly.
Good for them. They're back. Everybody get excited if you're that Mad Catz person. Now here is where Andrew and A has gone crazy.
This
news
is my
that
fault.
Was in the new the new date section has been pulled up to be a full blown Roper Report section. Tell me what's going on, Andrew.
So there is another Battlegrounds game that has been announced. Paladins is getting a Battlegrounds mode, and yes, that is its exact name. So this
and that trailer looks a lot like PUBG.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So this story I found on Eurogamer, obviously it's everywhere now, but the hero shooter Paladins, which is made by Hi-Rez of Smite fame, which you might know, has a new Battle Royale mode called Paladins Battlegrounds, which will arrive in-game this year. Paladin already combined some of the best of 2015's card battling gameplay and 2016's hero shooter mechanics, so the addition of 2017's Battle Royale gameplay makes some kind of sense. Hi-Rez Studios free-to-play hero shooter is a huge success on Steam, just like that other game you may have heard of, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. The addition of the team-based hero shooting to Battle Royale gameplay is interesting, although it'll be even more interesting to see if PUBG publisher Bluehole reacts to this announcement the same way it did to Epic's Fortnite. Last September, Bluehole exec Changhan Kim slammed Fortnite's Battle Royale as having replicated PUBG's gameplay and ominously pledged to contemplate further action.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was a giant story. So if you're keeping track, Battle Royale gameplay has now popped up in Fortnite, Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto Online, Crytek's Warface, and will arrive later this year in Techland's Dying Light.
I didn't realize it was coming to Dying Light. That's cool.
Yes. So.
You fired up about this one?
I mean, I'm not a Paladins player. Paladins has had several different modes throughout its lifetime. So this isn't necessarily surprising. It is surprising to me that they just use the name Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, PUBG Corp, as they are now, because they have split off from Bluehole and now are their own subsidiary. Yeah. But I have to imagine that they're going to say something. Or maybe it was just that PUBG Corp had some kind of beef with Epic because they are using Unreal. But I mean,
I think
you can't really copyright the word Battlegrounds, can you?
I don't think so.
A little too, like, common of a word.
Sure. Yeah, because you feel like it's, you know, there's an official title, right? And that's what it's got to be working around. And so a mode, I don't know how that would work into it. I don't think you're going to see the CEO, yeah, or the exec or whatever, come out and threaten again, because they took it so hard on the chin from everybody when they did that. I'm just like, what are you fucking talking about?
Like, let it go.
Even Battlegrounds, while amazing, isn't this like groundbreaking idea, right? It's playing off of things
original
that are already
concept.
Happening in Deji and all these other in movies and all this different stuff. I think it was just the fact that Fortnite, I think, took it on the chin at the time because they were Epic and they were this big game that was doing this, whereas before, even I remember trying to make the argument that GTA was doing it, but GTA's moved things around and did things differently, and I don't even remember the specifics anymore. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, but I think it's less players and there are, you start with all your weapons and crazy ass shit like that. It wasn't literally where Fortnite was like, we love PUBG, so we're making a PUBG version where you also build if you want to, whereas this one, like, did you watch the trailer for it?
I did not.
Like, it opens and it looks like PUBG, where it's like you're going and then they have the 100 up here and it starts counting down and like the map even looks the same. You're like, huh.
Okay. So it's just a direct ripoff.
In that style, I don't know about the gameplay, right, of a hero shooter being involved in this and how that plays, and it's free to play and it's all these different things, but I think it's just the sign of the times. I think they're not going to be the last one you see in 2018 doing this.
No, we talked about this when PUBG started gaining traction in late spring of last year, saying how, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time before everybody starts adding this mode in. I mean, got to get into the bubble while it's still here before it bursts. I mean, clearly, you know, PUBG's going to be around for a long time after them just recently having crossed that 3 million concurrent marker that they broke their own record.
Putting out that new map, right?
But I mean, I think once they get the coding together on the Xbox platform, you know, they'll have a big audience there as well. But I mean, cool. Have fun, Paladins. I think Hi-Rez is very cheeky and really just saying, hey, we're just gonna
come after
we're
us.
Just gonna name it Battlegrounds.
I'm sure for them it's just like it was what it was with Fortnite, where it's like the best marketing right now is people talking about it like this, and if you want to come at us, PUBG, go ahead. Like, that was great for Fortnite's numbers. Everybody suddenly knew what that game was and where it was and downloaded it and jumped in.
But the thing PUBG has going for it that none of these other games do is that it's not free to play. Now, you would normally think that that would be a hindrance, but it hasn't been, because they're like, well, we're actually making money on our game, whereas who knows how much Epic is making from Battle Royale. Sure, they have, you know, 30 million players or whatever, but how many of those people are actually spending money
transitioning
after
over to the real game, quote-unquote, Fortnite?
Yeah. I would love to know what the conversion rates are.
Yeah. Well, I saw Nick Chester out there on Twitter talking about all this, because some guy put up a thing of like, it's funny that people are calling this one shameless and a knockoff, but they didn't say that about Fortnite. And Nick's like, nah, as somebody who had to read everything,
they absolutely did.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I can't wait to play this though. While we're here, let's jump over to Daniel's question. He wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can and should, and said, I saw an article on Game Informer where CH Kim, PUBG Corporation CEO, said they want to put PUBG on every platform. But even barring the current Xbox exclusivity deal, PlayStation does not have a way for early access games to be put on PSN. However, hasn't Fortnite been on PlayStation? And I know there have been some other games that have been labeled as betas that you could get on the PSN, such as the MOBA Smite, parentheses, yes, I'm a big fucking nerd. So, is there really no way early access games can be put on PlayStation, or is that just an excuse so PUBG Corp doesn't have to throw Xbox under the bus? Thanks, Dan. P.S. Greg. The beard is fantastic, and I can't wait to see what great things Kinda Funny does in 2018. Thank you very much. First new show, Marvel, or MCU in a review, launching tomorrow. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. No, we've talked around this. I don't know if you ever had a specific question about it, but yeah, it doesn't make sense. There's no early access program, sure, but Fortnite and Paragon and what's the one? Smite are all games that aren't... They're not the game, but you can buy them, but they don't have trophies because they're not the full game.
Well, you're not buying the game. You're buying in-game items to use in the game, and that you buying that gets you access. But that's but Fortnite's no longer in that mode. You can play for free. Well, not the original mode. You still have to pay for that. But Paragon is free.
So what's the original mode of Fortnite that is, you have to pay.
There's
to play.
A name for it now,
but it's not. It isn't a full blown game, right? That's the thing. There are trophies for it, right? There's trophies for that. There's no trophies for Battle Royale. I think that's correct. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Let me look. Fortnite Battle Royale trophies. Yes, it is. It is a full game. There's like a campaign and there's multiplayer.
I don't mean it like that. I don't mean like, hey, you're getting some half-assed game. I mean like, isn't Paragon's deal the same way, where there's no trophies for Paragon because it's still in alpha beta or whatever.
Yeah, it's confusing, right?
Yeah, I honestly,
there are no Battle Royale trophies.
Sure, but there are regular Fortnite trophies.
Correct.
Okay.
We looked that up on this show previously.
Just making sure we're all on the same page. I'm hesitant to say, haha, yeah, it's PUBG pulling the wool over their eyes and yada yada. As many people as I've seen screw up the platinum trophy, I imagine in some way that's what this is.
Yeah.
Where there's been a conversation where they're like, oh, well, when you're out of early access, talk to us at PlayStation. We'd love to put the game out there. We don't really do early access games. When in reality, they do early access games. They just don't call them that. So it's totally just nobody has the ammunition at the time to be like, well, wait, what about these two games that aren't full-fledged games, quote-unquote? They are betas. They are something else. But since they're not really calling PUBG Early Access a beta, correct? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think so.
They're just calling it Early Access.
I think it's all just terminology.
Is it technically even in beta yet?
I don't know. I have no idea how you break all that down.
Yeah, the line between like closed alpha, closed beta, an open beta, and then like your 1.0 is blurry right now that it's hard to really know unless a developer specifically comes out and says we're in closed beta or we're in open beta.
More than anything, I think it's the exclusivity deal with Xbox, and I don't think they want to go into term. They don't want to put it on record how long that is. So I think it is an easy answer of just like, well, PlayStation doesn't do early access, so we'll talk to them down the road.
Yeah. That's a simple answer. Yeah. Absolutely. Then, go with it.
Then people are out there needling them looking for those answers. You know what I mean? Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
I'm excited to play PUBG on PlayStation 4 one day.
One day.
But it's not coming anytime soon.
No.
If I wanted to know what was coming soon to the digital mom and grab shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software each and every day. Oh, dang it, I screwed it up.
It's okay. It's your first one out of break. Don't worry about it.
Hold on, let me read it. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. I like how I had to wait. I saw Kevin not ready yet, so I had to wait to get to the yeah together. Out today, we have four games on the Nintendo eShop on Nintendo Switch: Grand Prix Rockin' Racin', Pika Pix Deluxe, ACA Neo Geo King of the Monsters, and then Stickbold the Dodgeball Adventure Deluxe. Big fan of Stickbold. You might have seen us play it on our extra live stream, right, Kev? That was one of the ones for the triathlon or whatever. Took a little too long because we weren't versed in how long a match of Stickbowl would take when you're amazing at Stickbowl, and we were all amazing. But it's a cool dodgeball game. It should be fun on Switch. Hopefully it runs fine. I don't know. I can't tell you that part. New dates for you. Atmospheric puzzle platformer Albert and Otto is coming soon to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. How soon? The 10th of January. I already talked about Paladins coming at some point in 2018 with this Battlegrounds thing. So there you go. OKKO, Let's Play Heroes, comes out on January 23rd on PlayStation 4. And then Messenger is coming to PC and consoles later this year. Messenger, if you haven't watched the trailer, go watch it. Do you see this thing?
No.
It's making the rounds. A lot of people have reports on it. And I was watching it with Kevin this morning. You remember this, Kev? It's this 8-bit, and then it jumps into 16-bit game that looks like Ninja Gaiden. You're running around. It's got a skill progression. You're unlocking all the stuff. But it's a crazy platformer where you're a ninja jumping around. It looks awesome. Looks like fun.
Ninjas.
Ninjas are always fun. Time for reader mail. But first, I need to tell you this episode of the Kind of Funny Games Daily, whatever, show hosts, is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. Right now, we have a brand new Kind of Funny hoodie up there. It is not the blue one. It is a black one because those sell better. And also the blue ones are impossible to get now because the people who made them went out of business and all the other blues don't look good. So now you're getting a black hoodie. It's available for pre-order. If you pre-order it now, it'll ship in February. We love it. We hope you'll love it too. Let's jump to Brandon.
Sure.
Brandon, and I'm going to assume it's Brandon Jones, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg and Andrea, Ubisoft put out some of the best titles in 2017, in my opinion, with Assassin's Creed Origins, Ghost Recon Wildlands, South Park, and Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I wasn't excited for Origins as I barely played any of the Assassin's Creed games prior, but I played Origins nonstop over holiday break, and I thought it was incredible. I played and enjoyed the For Honor demo, but more importantly, they didn't give up on support of that game or The Division and Rainbow Six Siege. It seems gamers give Ubisoft a ton of hate, despite being one of the top companies willing to take risks and experiment, produce a variety of different titles, and provide continued support. Do you feel Ubisoft is underrated or doesn't get enough credit? Thanks for reading, and glad to have KFGD back. Love the show, Brandon Jones.
I agree that Ubisoft had a stellar year in 2017, and they are looking to have a great year in 2018 as well. I don't know where Ubisoft gets a ton of hate from.
Yeah, I don't feel that's the case. I feel like Ubisoft actually is, if you're talking about big publishers, one of the darlings of big publishing, right? Because we talked about this show where it's like, I think when Vivendi was breathing down their neck, they really pivoted and were like, hey, no, I'm Yves Guillemot, and I'm going to come out and tell you why stuff's awesome. We're going to make cool games. We're going to support them. We know what we do, and we do that well, and we're going to continue to do that well. And like, yeah, they do support their games and their communities, and it's been interesting. Granted, there's a lot of time difference here, but being a Division fan since launch and since beta, actually, and then now being into Destiny 2, watching the Destiny 2 community be so fired up and angry, it reminds me so much of how people were fired up and angry at the Division at certain things. But with their latest patch, the Division subreddit is filled with people being like, this game's awesome again. Like, this is really cool. Fran hit me up asking me if I wanted to jump back into the Division and try some of this new content. Like, they're doing a great job, Ubisoft and their developers, of keeping people engaged and doing cool things. And yeah, doing South Park, which is different, and then jumping over and having Assassin's Creed, taking a year off of Assassin's Creed to try to come back with something interesting that I know you loved.
Absolutely. I mean, it was one of my, you know, favorite games of the year last year. I talked about it quite a bit on this show and what's good. I think that they have maybe gotten a little bit of bad publicity for a couple of missteps, right? We had a couple of entries into the Assassin's Creed franchise that didn't hit, that missed the mark. You know, they had that snafu over the Watch Dogs content that they showed at E3 that was different than when the game came out. You know, like, so every publisher is going to have those missteps, sure, no matter how successful you are. But they have continued to put out really high quality, engaging games despite the missteps and have been able to take feedback and really engage with their community. I've really loved seeing the way that they've really gotten in depth with the Ubisoft blog content, with making video content, doing developer interviews, developer diaries.
Chris Waters.
Yes, he's great over there. And really kind of seeing them engage in a way that not a lot of other publishers are taking the time to do, and like really kind of transitioning some of their core titles into games as services has been super beneficial for them. I remember playing Rainbow Six Siege when it first came out and really loving that game and kind of dropping away just because I didn't have time to maintain. Sure. But now some of my old clanmates are like, hey, we're getting back in. And
the gang's back together.
So I'm like, maybe I need to go download and check out all the new operators and the new maps and everything. And I never would have suspected that game would have a year three.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're really taking a look at the landscape, seeing what's popular, seeing, you know, kind of what the trends are currently in the gaming ecosphere and saying, let's jump on this. Let's make sure that we're making great content that people want. And it's clearly paying off for them.
I think Ubisoft, they exist in this interesting space between, obviously they're not an indie developer or a small publisher, but then when you talk about like AAA publishers, they don't come off as the corporate people, right? They're in this weird space where it's like they do artsy stuff and they do communicate with their audience and they do listen and stop and really react well to things. And so I think if you're seeing hate for them, it's the traditional hate that not everybody, you can't please everyone. So there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like this, that, or the other. But I think, yeah, last year and then the last few years, they've actually been on point and pretty awesome. Thank you, Brandon Jones. Arvel writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, Greg and Andrea. I was looking yesterday through all the compiled lists of release dates for 2018, and there were two games in particular that looked relatively similar to each other. Rare's Sea of Thieves and Ubisoft Singapore's Skull and Bones. Both are similarly pirate-themed cooperative multiplayer games with ship-to-ship combat and other pirate shenanigans. Do you think, after 2016's battle between Overwatch and Battleborn, and 2017's battle between Fortnite, Battle Royale, and PUBG, that this year's major online game competition will be between Sea of Thieves and Skull and Bones? Keep up the great work, and I wish you the best in 2018.
No.
No, not at you. No.
That's the short answer.
No, not at all.
I don't think that these games are as similar as you think they are. I mean, when you list them out like this on paper,
yeah,
they look the same, but like
Sea of Thieves is a cartoon and Skull and Bones is an Assassin's Creed strategy, whatever the hell you want.
Stylistically, very different games. One is family friendly, one is more like T for teen.
Yeah.
And I think that what Sea of Thieves is trying to do from a cooperative standpoint is much more involved. That's the focus. Whereas Skull and Bones is a competitive game.
Blow up the other guy. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like the exploration element in Sea of Thieves is really going to shine, whereas that's not really an element in Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
So we also haven't seen enough of Skull and Bones to really know what the full gameplay is going to look like.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen tons of Sea of Thieves at this point, and it's looking like it's going to be a great game, but
Is it going to be a commercial success?
I don't think so.
Not at all.
I'm
not
really concerned that it's going to be a giant flop.
Me too.
Which is kind of sad to think about.
Not
you know?
Talking about quality. Rare, they do great stuff. The game looks great. Everybody who plays it at E3 comes away like, that was a lot of fun. It strikes me so much as Evolve. Like, you need to be communicating with each other and actually having it. And so that level of communication doesn't play well with, hey, I'm going to jump into a public lobby and go. So then it is, all right, cool, I'll get my squad together. And then it's like, well, if you're playing right now, like, it's an Xbox exclusive. So, like, are you people over there? Are they doing that? Do they want to play this kind of game? And then it is family friendly. It's just, it seems like something that could be really great if you had a core group of, like, people that are all in and want to do this and run it. But it's not going to find mainstream success.
I think the fact that you're in this persistent online world is what's going to be its downfall. Because I think what they've created is really fun and very unique in a very specific way. But where I struggled in some of my playthroughs in this game is that I wanted to be in this world and just kind of have fun with my friends and not have to be worried that somebody's going to try to kill me.
Mm.
Like that somebody's going to try to sink my ship. And sure. If I'm on an adventure, then I'm going to like lose my progress. And that to me was a really frustrating part.
Did they not
like,
have an answer for that? I would assume they have a passive mode
at the
or
time.
Something.
No, I'm not up to date on what the current modes are and what the current multiplayer landscape is going to look like at launch. Obviously, we're very close to launch now.
When is it? Do you know?
I believe it's March, but let me double check.
There's another problem.
But yeah, so I really like the idea of Sea of Thieves. And like the thing about Skull and Bones is, you know, like it just takes a really popular mode from Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which was developed in AC3 and is just expanding on it. And we got a little sliver of it in Origins with some of the ship mechanics in that game. And it reminded me how much I really love that part of the game.
Yeah.
But it felt out of place in Origins. It kind of felt like it was shoehorned in. So I'm really excited to see it as its own standalone thing.
Interesting. Yeah. Like that was like, I was personally let down when I saw Skull and Bones because I was like, oh shit, they're just making a pirate game. Awesome. And then it wasn't really. It is a ship-based thing or like you don't have a character, you are the ship and all this. And I was like, ugh, I just want them to give me a pirate game. And I was like, well, I never beat Black Flag. Every time I talk about Black Flag, I'm like, fuck, I should go back and play more Black Flag.
You should. It's good.
Awesome.
March 20th, 2018 is the official release date.
I hope we're wrong. I hope that they, next time they preview it or demo it or whatever, and it's like, hey, this is what it is, and everybody gets excited, and you're like totally in. But it does not strike me as a game that I would want to play night after night with Kev. I'll be like, all right, cool. I'm taking the sale. You take the thing. We're going out to the, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Hopefully. Alex writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy New Year, Andrea and Greg. So glad KFGD is back. It's been too long.
It has been.
I missed Catherine on PS3. It was before I had started following Greg Miller content. But since your recommendations for Persona 5 were so justified, I'm wondering if you have a pitch for why we should grab Catherine on PlayStation 4 this year. Do you think you'd bother to replay it? Or is it a one-time experience? Much love, Alex. Alex, I cannot wait for Catherine on PlayStation 4. I'm actually embarrassed I forgot to put this in the rundown yesterday because something happened over break. But I got super stoked to see Catherine back. The reason being, Catherine is awesome. Catherine tells you this awesome story about being Vincent and accidentally cheating on your girlfriend and then playing between all these worlds of actually wrestling with concepts you don't wrestle with in video game of guilt and relationships and how you want to do this and how do you want to go forward. The best part about this remaster, this re-release, is the fact that I never beat Catherine, much like Persona 5, but not for a different reason. Catherine is this awesome narrative with this crazy block-moving puzzle game, right? You actually have to learn strategies on how to spin the blocks and do the things. I was doing great at Catherine. I went away for a PAX or something, came back, and could not remember how to do the blocks. And I was like, fuck! And I was like, well, this game's done. I don't remember the tornado method of moving things around and going up there. Also on Vita, I should point out, too.
Well, and they're doing a couple of different things with this version. So it's called Full Body. They're adding in another character. They're adding in online battles and new difficulty levels, which I know for some people was a sticking point because some of the puzzles were very challenging. Yeah. So it's good that they're adding in, you know, some, hopefully some easier levels so more people can get in and really experience it. But yeah, 6 years ago
did you
was
play
released.
It? Back in the
no,
day?
I never did. Yeah. This is really just not my style of game at all. Like this type of genre, I just don't play.
Yeah.
But I told Alexa that I would try it.
See, and that I'll be interested to see if it grabs you because that's my exact same thing where I'm like, I'm not the puzzle guy. I don't want to play a puzzly game, but I love the art style. I love the story and I jumped in. It's the same reason that the Persona series pulled me in. It's just like, I'm not the JRPG guy.
See, the puzzle guy, so the puzzle part I'm on board for. It's the art style that I'm just like not really into.
Okay. But yeah, listen to Alexa. Get in there and do it.
I'm going to try it.
You're going to play on Vita? Because it's also on Vita, right?
Isn't that my Vita's like in a drawer somewhere.
Nest it off. It's time to roll. Kevin, light up the Vitas. Final question of the day comes from Ryan, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Andrea. What do y'all think of the rumors of a new 2D Zelda game for 3DS similar to A Link Between Worlds? While I'm really excited to play a new 2D Zelda game similar to Metroid and Pokemon last year, it's tough for me to be excited about a new 3DS titles in 2018 with my Switch right next to me. Long sentence there, Ryan. We gotta show you some commas and periods. I hadn't actually heard this rumor, had you?
I have not heard this rumor
either. I put this
either.
In actually because the rumor I had heard today getting kicked around from one random tweet was that Nintendo was approaching journalists trying to get them to approve a Link Between World review copy. As if to say they were going to like remaster A Link Between Worlds and put it on the Switch. That's why I put this question in because I was browsing and I was breezing through them and saw A Link Between Worlds and the rumor. And I was like, oh, he's talking about the rumor I saw, which isn't worthy of the Roper report, but worthy enough to bring to your attention that somebody out there is saying this and they got kicked around the message boards.
A Link Between Worlds, the only Zelda game I've finished.
So you liked it?
I liked it a lot.
It was great.
Yeah. I think it would be great on Switch, but this just comes back again to the virtual console conversation of saying, like, why are more legacy Nintendo games not announced for Switch yet?
Sure.
But, I mean, now that they've had such a successful first year, I don't see why they wouldn't want to just bump it with those kinds of software sales.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, you know, we're all collectively holding our breath for VC to be announced, but I mean, we're not going to get another fresh new Zelda game for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't. And so, Ryan, I'm sorry that I was misunderstanding when I put this one in here. I hadn't heard the rumors of a 2D Zelda for 3DS. I really hope that isn't happening. I really hope that this is I hope we're on the same kind of page. And they're talking about bringing A Link Between Worlds to Switch or something to that effect.
Yeah, I don't know why they would make another Zelda game right after Breath of the Wild. Also, Breath of the Wild is still selling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't cannibalize your audience.
That motorcycle DLC is where it's all at. Time squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, platform of choice, username, and why you need friends on the internet and video games. I already hear people come and find you. Y'all play together. John Soils writes in. He needs help on Xbox One. His gamer tag, is unsaluted, but hold on. UNSOLUTED. Unsoluted, like a solution, but salute. Anyways, I'm looking for some players for Monster Hunter World. Considering PlayStation 4 is the dominant system, I'm worried I won't have a lot of players to play with. I'm also willing to teach/help other hunters learn the ropes of the game. I'm not a pro, but pretty proficient. About 400 hours across the three 3DS games. And that doesn't make you proficient.
No,
video games.
You know what's crazy about that is that you hear that number and it sounds like a lot, but knowing Monster Hunter, that's nothing, right?
Yeah, it's the same way of like when I play, like, you know, not now, but when I had put like 700 hours into DC Universe, people are like, oh, you know everything. I'm like, I fucking get pulled through raids. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know how to do this. I got exobytes coming up my ass. Everybody, if you want to play Monster Hunter on Xbox One, hit up Unsaluted. UNSOLUTED. Now, time for a brand new segment. It's called Pick a Platinum. Jim B. wrote in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD to be part of the show, just like you can. It says, greetings, Greg and Andrea. He put two G's in my name, and I hate that. Trophy time, help needed. Greg, I'm having some trouble, and I need your assistance. I am stuck at 99 platinums. PSNProfile.com/GJXLO. And I just don't know what game to have be my 100th platinum. This has caused me to not complete a few games because I am not sure if I should try to mark this occasion with something special or just move on. Currently, I have Final Fantasy 15, Destiny 2, and South Park almost completely finished. But do I move on to Uncharted Lost Legacy, Persona 5, or something else? Do I find some really hard one and work towards that? Please help me decide if I should care about this or just move on and finish all of these. Thanks, Jim. Jim, you just got to move on and finish them. Just got to keep going, brother. At no point are you going to never going to be able to look back and say, hey, that was my 100th platinum. That's, you're going to talk about the platinums that matter to you, the ones you got. What are you making the face for, Kev? You got better advice? Huh? Leaning. Oh, you know what I mean, jerk, that my name has two G's in it already. You know exactly what I mean. And you know what will be? I'm going to start banning those people, and you're wrong then. They won't be allowed to watch anymore. It's going to be like the Black Mirror episode. They'll try to tune in, Andrea. It'll just be all garbled. I say, yeah, you just suck it up and do Destiny 2. Or South Park. Don't do Final Fantasy 15. You don't need that to be your 100th platinum.
That'll take a long time.
Well, these are games he's almost done with.
Oh.
Like when he's talking like, he almost has completely finished Final Fantasy 15, Destiny 2,
yeah,
all he needs for Prestige and Trials.
It depends which trophies he has though, right? Because some of the trophies,
sure.
if you're putting off them, like for example, in Destiny 2, like that.
He just says he needs Prestige and Trials there. So the Prestige, Nightfall, and the
Trials. But think about how long that took you to get.
One weekend, it was great. I had a really good team.
I mean, once you organize it, but like that would happen, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Or sometime in like mid-December,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think, no, it was before DLC, so it must have been end of November.
End of November.
Yeah.
So that's like 3 months after launch? 2.5 months after launch?
Yeah. Oh, fine. Do South Park then. South Park's a good plan. No?
Listen,
I definitely don't say...
Do whatever your heart
don't
desires.
Don't move on to Persona 5. You know, it's going to be hundreds of hours till your 100th platinum. Screw that. Maybe give it to Uncharted. I still haven't deleted Uncharted Lost Legacy off my cross media bar.
Why not?
Because I'm like, I should go back and platinum that. But I know what's going to happen. If I platinum that, then I'm going to be like... Oh, fuck, I should really go Platinum Golden Abyss. I never finished that one. And then it's going to be like, well, if I've come this far, I should probably do the Uncharted
hole.
Collection. That's
be
three
careful.
More Platinums. I know. I don't have any time for it, so it's great. I don't have to worry about it. Do it you feel, Jim. Whatever you feel in your balls, go do it. Time for Kind of Funny, You're Wrong. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Then we set the record straight for everybody listening later on a podcast service or watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. What's that, Kevin? We're still less than 600 people away from having 230,000 subs on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Please pull your car over to the side of the road. Your kid can wait at school another freaking 15 minutes and subscribe to us on YouTube.
It doesn't take 15 minutes. You just pull YouTube up on your phone, hit the button.
But I mean, if you got to get off the highway. You know,
I can't see the exact number, but it says 229. Oh, wait, here it is. 229,418.
All right, we made some progress during this show. Thank you very much, Twitch audience.
Okay,
again,
first.
You got a Google account. You got this. And you probably have multiple Google accounts. You just go there and game the system. It's not hard. You know what I mean? Throw Greg a bone, why don't you? And stop putting two G's at the end of my goddamn name.
SNES Chalmers says, PUBG released March 23rd. Lawbreakers released August 8th.
I saw people.
So he says, you're not wrong. Just some extra info. PUBG also grew 300,000 players from March to August. And then you know the rest. Here's what I would add to that. That PUBG didn't really gain the big momentum until late summer. So I get why Lawbreakers is saying that. But like I mentioned in the story, like it's not the reason why.
I saw people calling that out in comments on articles and in the things. It's the fact that, yeah, like PUBG isn't, we're not talking about the release of PUBG, I don't think, as much as we're talking about the phenomenon of PUBG.
Right. But I mean, I think what they were referring to is.
There's room.
Is Nexon's statement about
sure.
it. All right. Next up, Ignacio
Rojas.
Says, regarding yesterday's topic on people in America who have died due to gaming, the earliest known video game related death is of Jeff Daly from Virginia, who suffered a heart attack after playing Berserk for hours. Peter Burkowski of Illinois, who also died of a heart attack while playing Berserk. There's also Jennifer Strange from California, who died by water intoxication willingly participating in the local radio station's giveaway.
Hold your
promotion.
Wii for a Wii. I remember that is not at all related to this. That is not gaming addiction. That is her trying to win her son a fucking Wii and it killed.
Yikes. Also, I had never heard that story.
Really?
Oh, that makes me sad.
That happened when I was still at the Columbia Tribune, and it was after I'd launched the blog that would eventually get me hired at IGN. And it was, I don't know why. Well, I guess because the Wii was so popular and it was like in it. But I talked about that story like as it happened because there was like all these different things that changed throughout the day, mm-hmm. and it was like the sixth most popular story we did online for the paper that year, and it was like that was crazy.
Man, all right, continuing on. I don't know if this is
people editorializing out there.
I mean, it doesn't even like make sense, really. It's just a comment about battle royale games being the same. Here we go. Top Boog says Fortnite's paid mode is called Save the World. Thank you. And it has trophies, even though it still gets frequent updates. It will be free in a few months. All right. Continuing on. Petey says, I had a spontaneous 6-hour session of Sea of Thieves the other week. It is seriously addictive going after other ships.
Okay. We'll see.
See, that's the thing, though, is I don't want somebody to chase me down. I just want to, like, hang out with my friends on an island.
Sure.
And you leave your ship, and then when you're on the island looking for treasure, then they sink your ship, and then you're sad.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun at all, no. I don't want my ship sink.
Right, because then you have to, like, leave someone behind on the ship, and then they're just by themselves, like, guarding the ship. That's sure. dumb. I don't
Sounds
like,
a
I didn't
job
like
for
that.
Brit. She'd like that.
Maidros? I don't know how to say this name at all. Greg said that Sea of Thieves is an Xbox exclusive. It is also on PC.
Oh my God, shoot me in the face. I know what I'm saying when we talk
Here's
about
the
that.
Thing. There is no longer anything that's an Xbox exclusive.
Play
if
anywhere.
It's on Xbox One, it's also on Windows PC. Like, that's just the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's knock that off, right? So if we say Xbox exclusive, you know exactly what we mean. All right. He made an abbreviation. I was trying to figure out what the abbreviation means. So, James the Kuma says, people are speculating that the ALBW, A Link Between Worlds, rumor is probably just for them re-releasing the 3DS version on the Nintendo Selects line, Nintendo's greatest hits.
Huh, okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
And then somebody, Adwin, writes in and says, some of the Ubisoft hate that exists out there and linked to a bunch of different places on the internet where people are hating on Ubisoft. So, okay. I mean, obviously, like, it exists, of course, but these are all relatively old stories, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
And then Shredberg says, I believe Andrea said that the Switch will lose momentum because most consoles lose momentum after their first year. However, this is not true. Most consoles sell the best in their third or fourth year in the market. The best year of sales for the Wii was the third year on the market with roughly 23 million in sales. The PS4 had its best year in its fourth year of 2017, selling 20 million. PS2 sold best in its third year, selling 21 million. PS3 and 360 don't have nearly as easily traceable numbers, but if memory serves, the third and fourth years were better than the first and second. Why, thank you. I stand corrected.
That's good stuff. That was a good one. Cool.
That's it, Greg.
All right, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can catch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can catch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. What's that, Kevin? Oh, we're getting close to that 230,000 subs, so go over there. And also, Google accounts are free. Just make a bunch and subscribe for us, you know?
For a second, I thought Kevin wasn't there because he was, like, leaning so far back in his chair.
Oh, yeah, Kevin's always hidden back there, you know? You can get on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you so much. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get a bunch of cool stuff, like the new PlayStation VR show that'll come out next month. I got an itchy nose. You get the Extra Life documentary right now, an hour of behind-the-scenes content that we filmed at Extra Life. It's edited really well. It's good stuff.
Added 7 subscribers since I last checked.
Those are my people. Kevin, here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow on the show, this wall, just the live subscriber count, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I want to see it go up too. I want to see it go down. Tim's on tomorrow. That's Andrea Nay from What's Good Games. Go follow her. Do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Watch their podcast. You got a new one coming out tomorrow too?
Yes, right. We do. It's cool. Going to be exciting. We talk about our 2018 gaming resolutions. Ooh. And gaming goals.
All right, cool. How many platinums did you promise?
None.
God damn it.
I did make a commitment, though.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek.
Sure.
One of my goals. There was more than one, but one is to finish a minimum of 2 games per month for every month in 2018.
Okay.
I know it's like...
Are you counting like what, like a 2-hour indie game or something like that?
I'm counting all games.
What is what about an episode of like Batman?
That does not count as a game.
Just making sure.
Yes. Okay, nothing cool. Episodic.
Okay.
An episode is an episode. It's not the game.
All right, cool. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.